Our second reading today is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 16, reading verses 6 to 15. Let us listen for God's word. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Amen. Dr. Gary Nelson is the president of Tyndale University College and Seminary. He's a Baptist, and he's one of the most gifted preachers around, as anyone who heard him at this year's Ecumenical Lenten series can attest. I have known Gary for over 30 years now, going back to the time when we were both members of Walmer Road Baptist Church in the mid-1980s. But I didn't know a story about Gary that his friend Mark Buchanan has written about in Christianity Today. In Mark Buchanan's telling of this story, when Gary was just a young seminary graduate, he was a youth pastor at a church on the prairies. He didn't get many opportunities to preach in those days, so he was quite excited when the senior pastor asked him to deliver the sermon on Pentecost Sunday. As it was Pentecost, Gary made the quite natural decision to preach on the Holy Spirit. But because he didn't have much experience in the pulpit, he made the mistake of trying to pack his sermon with everything he could think of about the Holy Spirit. He started by quoting from the first chapter of Genesis, and then he proceeded to go through every passage of Scripture he could find that related to the Holy Spirit. After about an hour, he finally got to the second chapter of Acts. As the congregation struggled to stay awake, Gary told the story of the arrival of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. He said, "And with a mighty rushing wind, the Spirit came." And as soon as he said that, all the windows in the church blew in. A tornado had touched down not far from the church and had caused all the windows to implode. Mark Buchanan says that when that happened, Gary never had a more attentive audience. When the Holy Spirit arrives with the force of a tornado, it's bound to make people sit up and take notice. There's part of me that feels that our own church has been hit by a tornado over the past few months. The Holy Spirit has certainly arrived in an explosive way, bringing about a change unlike anything we have ever seen in this church. The movie The Wizard of Oz has a famous scene of a tornado blowing through the Kansas countryside. After it's over, Dorothy and her dog Toto find themselves in a completely different place. Dorothy looks around and says, "We're not in Kansas anymore." That's a feeling we can probably relate to. Given what's happened around here in the past little while, we're certainly not in Kansas anymore. The Holy Spirit has roared into our midst, and we found ourselves in a place that's a long way from anywhere we're used to being. This is actually not such an unusual thing to happen to God's people. The whole history of the church, right from the beginning of the book of Acts, is a story of the church being carried by the Holy Spirit to places it has never been before. By the time we work our way through Acts to chapter 16, we find the Apostle Paul a very long way from where the church started in Jerusalem. Paul has been on a long journey, and he has traveled all the way to the western edge of what is now Turkey. Everywhere he's gone, Paul has been telling people about Jesus and starting new churches. He has been acting as a missionary. He has very much seen himself as fulfilling a mission given to him by God. Mission means something we are sent to do. As the people of God, we have a mission. We are a sent people. The Gospel of John tells us that when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, he said to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." God the Father had sent Jesus into the world to reveal the truth of God's love. Jesus, as he was about to return to heaven, was telling his disciples that he was sending them into the world to do the same thing, to bring the truth of God's love to every corner of the earth. When the Apostle Paul arrived in Troas, on the shore of the Aegean Sea, he may have been tempted to think that he had pretty much completed the mission God had given him. He had traveled a long way to get here, and he'd achieved a lot. Because of Paul's efforts, the good news about Jesus had been accepted by many people. Paul could easily have thought it's time to turn around and head back home. But God would not let Paul do that. God had not finished sending Paul to new places. While he was in Troas, Paul had a dream in which he saw a man from Macedonia. This man was begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." That sealed it. Paul was not going to turn around and go home. He wasn't even going to stay for a while and relax in the comfortable surroundings of the Aegean coast. Instead, he was going to get on a boat and cross over to Macedonia. In doing this, he wouldn't just be crossing over a sea. He would be crossing over to a whole new continent. He would be crossing from Asia to Europe. Paul doesn't seem to give much thought to the fact that he is taking the gospel to Europe for the very first time. Borders like that don't seem to mean very much to Paul. As far as Paul is concerned, this is just another region that needs to hear the Christian message. Whether the people there are European or Asian or anything else, they are people whom God created, and they are people for whom Jesus died. They are people who need to hear the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. When he arrives in Macedonia, Paul goes to the biggest city in that region, a city called Philippi. He doesn't want to waste any time before starting his missionary work. His normal pattern in a new city is to go to the Jewish synagogue first and begin preaching the gospel there. But in Philippi, there doesn't seem to be a synagogue. Although, Paul soon hears about something that kind of sounds like a synagogue. It's a meeting that takes place on the Sabbath down by the river. As Paul heads down to the river, you can imagine him thinking, "This must be where I will meet the man from Macedonia I saw in my vision, the man from Macedonia who called me to come over and help him." But surprisingly, Paul doesn't see a man by the river. Instead, he sees a group of women who have gathered to pray. There isn't a man among them. For a Jew such as Paul, this created a bit of an issue. In Jewish tradition, in order to have a synagogue, there had to be 10 men present. It didn't matter how many women were there, there had to be 10 men. The women weren't considered important enough to count. If he'd followed his culture, Paul would have just ignored these women. If he'd followed his culture, Paul would have said that these women didn't count. But Paul didn't do that. Instead, he sat down and talked to them. He sat down and told them about Jesus. He wanted them to know that in God's eyes, they did count. One of those Paul talks to is a woman named Lydia. Lydia, it turns out, is quite a unique person. As a woman in her society, she doesn't have a very high status. And yet, she's a merchant who sells purple cloth. In other words, she's a businesswoman, and it would seem a successful one at that. Purple cloth is a luxury item in Roman society, so that means Lydia is probably quite wealthy. But that's not really what makes Lydia stand out. What makes her stand out is her eagerness to accept the message Paul is telling her. Lydia becomes the first person in all of Europe to respond to the message about Jesus and become a Christian. Down by the river in Philippi, Paul is a long way from home. It's an unfamiliar place. And yet this is where God has sent him. This is where God has called him to be. This is where Paul is carrying out the mission God has given him. Paul is there because the Holy Spirit has put him there. It's all part of God's plan for changing the world. In our baptismal class yesterday, we talked about how we are saved to serve. In other words, when God saves us, he doesn't expect us to just sit back and relax. He gives us something to do. He includes us in the work of his kingdom. He gives us a role to play in his work in the world. For some people, like the Apostle Paul, that role involves being sent a long way away. It involves taking the message about Jesus to unfamiliar places. All through the history of the church, there have been people like Paul who have been missionaries. These missionaries have left their homes and followed where the Holy Spirit took them. They arrived in new lands to tell the story of Jesus. Through their efforts, God spoke to many hearts, and many new Christians were made. Back in the year 563, a Christian by the name of Columba left his home on a mission. Columba's home was in Ireland, and he was heading to Scotland to take the gospel there for the first time. Traveling in a small wicker boat, Columba landed on the west coast of Scotland. But when he got out of the boat, he realized he could still see his homeland on the horizon behind him. So he got back in the boat and pushed out to sea once more. He kept going until his homeland was no longer in sight. He finally stopped on an island that would come to be known as Iona. He began his mission work in Iona, and from that place, the Christian faith would spread all through Scotland. This picture of Columba pressing on until he could no longer see his homeland behind him is one I'm sure many missionaries through the centuries could relate to. Many missionaries over the years have stood on the deck of a boat and watched their homeland disappear over the horizon as they made their way to the place God was sending them. It's a picture of what God asks of us when he sends us to serve him. This picture is surprisingly relevant to us here as we think about what God is asking of us in this moment in the story of our church. Whether we realize it or not, we have become missionaries here in this church. It's as if a tornado has blown through here and put us down in a completely different place. We're a long way away from where we're used to being. We're in unfamiliar territory. And where we have come from is starting to recede over the horizon. And yet this is where God has called us to be. This is where God wants us to serve him. This is where God wants us to do our part in his plan to change the world. There's a line in a poem by Marianne Williamson where she says, "You are a child of God. You're playing small does not serve the world." I believe this is a truth that God speaks to his church. It's easy for us to play small, to think that we don't have much to offer, and there's not very much we can do to make a difference. It's easy for us in this secular age to shrink back into the safe confines of the church and occupy ourselves with comfortable and quiet activities. But God has not left us alone to do that. God has come into this place with the force of a tornado and carried us into a whole new reality. He has done this because he has a vision for us that is far greater than the vision we have for ourselves. We are his children. And he wants us to live with the boldness that those who are God's children ought to display. God doesn't want us to think small. He wants us to have a role in changing the world. He has sent us to be his missionaries. He has sent us to bring the gospel of Christ to new people. And this new and unfamiliar place he has sent us to is right here. I have a pastor friend who once said to me that he had never really seen himself as being a missionary because he doesn't like to travel. But God has an interesting way of getting around that kind of thing. It doesn't really matter whether or not you like to travel. You can still be a missionary. You can be a missionary right here. A few years after Paul arrived in Macedonia with the gospel, he wrote a letter to some of the new believers there. These new believers were living in the Macedonian city of Thessalonica. When Paul wrote to them, he said, "You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere." In other words, they had been continuing the mission work that Paul had started. This mission work didn't require them to travel great distances like Paul. It didn't require them to get on a boat and go anywhere. It just required them to stay right where they were and tell people around them about Jesus. The Thessalonians did this with such sincerity and such boldness that their faith in God became known not just in Thessalonica, but throughout the whole world. God had used them to change the world. This is the mission God has given the church. This is the mission God has given our church. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, your vision for us as a church is far greater than the vision we have for ourselves. By your Holy Spirit, give us the strength and the guidance we need to fulfill the mission you have given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.